Hi, this is David Russell. Welcome to episode 34 of the No Bad Bosses podcast. Now, today's episode is sponsored by Dave's Charm School. This is the only soft skills training for IT service providers, but also general corporations, you know, nonprofits, anybody. I want to tell you, I actually just yesterday sat in as a service manager, project manager, led a training of the Experience Bookends course. Now, he did lessons 1 and 2 of that course yesterday with his team. I just sat, I observed, gave him feedback afterwards. And boy, it struck me the power of these soft skills courses because it gave him a framework that then he could listen to in advance, apply experiences, examples that work specifically for his team. And he told me later, really powerful. Then he can have the team go on and take exams to demonstrate they learned something, but he left the training by asking them, okay, what's one thing as a group that we can do to improve based on what we learned in these lessons or were reminded of in these lessons? And I'd like to hear from each of you, what's one thing you're going to do based on what we just covered? So Charm School is very powerful, yet inexpensive. Visit managetowin.com/charmschool to learn more. There's a free trial. You can try it out. Now, my guests today in No Bad Bosses are Mike and Sherry Estep of Becca in Atlanta. They're a managed service provider. Becca's been around like forever and a day. I think almost as long as I've been in the industry. I mean, I think it was like 1982, which is like when I got in. And they've got some great insights on working together as a couple in the business, something they could not do 28 years earlier. And also, you know, what it's like to engage the millennials in their organization, yet they also have some people, senior execs who've been with them 20 years plus. I wouldn't miss this. Check it out.
Better behave.
I see like old-fashioned, remember the movies where they used to click down?
Yeah, that's right. I actually bought the Jeopardy music. I should have Jeff play that. We probably get sued or something. No.
We're live.
Yeah. Okay, we're live. So we are here with No Bad Bosses and really glad to be here with Mike and Sherry Estep of Becca in Atlanta. And you guys are one of only a few partnerships that I know that your husband-wife team, right. So you're different personality, behavioral styles, but you also do one other thing that I have not seen. I'm thinking now, I don't know whether I've ever seen anybody have such a deeply entrenched group of family members in the company, and it's working. So I know you've got some stuff to share with people, but why don't you give a little background? Because I know you've also gone through kind of a rebuilding process there.
Well, Becca is now 43-year-old company. And I joined it 28 years ago, was fortunate enough to have Sherry join us in 2013. And we've been, actually tried to work together once before and it failed miserably. She blames it all on me. My personality's changed a lot in the last 28 years. And now it works great. And as you mentioned, we have a son-in-law, a daughter, a son in the business, as well as our vice president's son is in the business. And we're trying to recruit our youngest son now to join the company, who's about to graduate college.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, but you drive like an hour each way to work together, right?
We do. Yes. We spend a lot of time every day in the car. It gives us a good chance to talk about what's happening at the office, kind of away from the office. Every once in a while, I need a little bit of space, so we drive separate. But I can listen to my music. But for the majority of the time, we do. We ride together to and from work.
Yeah. Well, that's a great thing. I think it's wonderful that you get that time together. And then, you've got the other stuff that you share in common. You mentioned you've got two country concerts you're coming up. Is that one of you likes Garth Brooks and the other musician, or is that both of you actually?
I said we both really like Garth Brooks.
Well, Sherry can listen to about anything, so she can.
I like a wide variety.
She has a huge wide variety. I grew up a country music fan. Garth Brooks was, I've never seen him. It's been a bucket list item. He announced he's coming to Atlanta to open up the Mercedes Stadium, so it was a chance to go. My dad jumped in the middle of it, wanted to join us, and then he's a huge Travis Tritt fan, so now we're going to another concert on Friday night. So it'll be a full weekend of country music, and you know, we enjoy being together now. I think the last country concert we've been to was probably...
I can't even remember when. Wow.
Long time.
So talk to me now. So you've been at Becca a long time, and you took over the business though a few years ago, right? I mean, were you a partner or did you buy out? How did that all work and what did you learn through that process? Because there's so many of our listeners that are in partnerships that are good or marginal or they're struggling. So any tips, learning lessons you got there?
Well, for us, I joined Becca when I was very young. I was 22 and have been here ever since. And the gentleman who hired me, his name's Bill Byers, was like a mentor to me all those years. In 2013, it was time for change inside the business. We had to evolve. When you have a business that's very legacy in nature, you know, we grew up from a typewriter company. I wasn't here in the typewriter business, but we grew up as a typewriter company, became a computer company, became a network company, and we were about to start that next transition into this environment called the cloud and what we were about to become. What I would tell everybody to make sure is, and I learned this, you know, everybody in their life cycle is looking for something different. The partnership for us was struggling, and I enjoyed it. Don't get me wrong. I was a partner from 99 until 2013. The founder of the business was interested in retirement. The gentleman who hired me was interested in retirement. And I was still really young, trying to figure out what's the next 20 to 40 years hold for me. And we were about to have to evolve a lot. And fortunately for me was, you know, the team was great and they were very receptive to helping me, you know, take control of the company and make sure that the employees still had someplace to work and that the company would move forward.
So Sherry, what was that transition like for you and how much did Mike involve you in that decision-making process?
Quite a bit. There was a lot of discussion on the positives of it and did we want to do that? How I came to be working here full-time was right about the time that Mike transitioned and took over, the office manager that had been here for 27 years decided she was going to retire. So I kind of stepped in as an interim to handle things and help him out in the transition until he could find someone new. He looked around, tried a couple people, and there was never a really good fit. So that's when, you know, we had a lot of heart-to-heart discussions about, did I want to step in and work full-time and be here all the time to help through this and help grow Becca into what we saw it becoming. So I jumped in with 2 feet and said, yes, I'm still here. We're still married. So... So it's worked. I think we're both a little bit more mature and mellowed some since we tried to work together, you know, 25, 27, 28. I don't remember, a long time ago. So it has worked out.
Now, I'm kind of curious before I hear from Mike on the mentoring piece. So what strikes me is that you joined, you became a partner and you had this really good mentoring relationship with this person. He was the VP of sales. Was that the guy? Or was it the owner?
He was president of the company.
He was president. So you had a really good mentoring relationship with him. And what strikes me is that it seems like these two guys, when it came time to exit, they were not greedy. So we can talk about that later. But I'm kind of curious, Sherry, from your perspective, not being the person receiving the mentoring, but watching what happens with your husband as he's being mentored. Mm-hmm. Do you have any memories of moments where there was like, oh, wow, he's really getting it. He, you know, there's some change going on. There's some things happening.
Honestly, I don't know. Probably nothing that comes to mind. Mike has always, from the moment I met him, gotten it. And that sounds, I guess, okay, his head's going to get really big, but he's just very natural, a very natural leader, very natural doer, go-getter. So all along through the process, yes, I guess I could see him growing and learning a lot more probably from the business aspect versus he always has been very good with relating to clients, relating to people, being able to help them understand technology in a way that they can understand it. But he did learn a lot about business. I can't think of any specific examples.
You will after we're done.
I will, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm not around.
So Mike, from your perspective, when you think of that mentoring relationship, what were the key aspects, key methods, approaches that he used that really helped you and then that you tried to use today?
Well, Bill was first, he was somebody you could count on. You walked in his office and could say that, hey, listen, I got this problem, please help me. He was right there in the middle of it. We joke all the time because we still, you know, we're still very good friends today and still talk, you know, I'm sure we both like to see each other more, but I work full time and, you know, he gets to go play a lot of golf. But he was always willing to help, and his business knowledge was just something I didn't have. I always had, you know, to use that technical term, the knack. I always was able to handle computers and networking. And, you know, he was somebody who taught me, you know, how to figure gross margins, how to figure gross profit. He did it by showing me and then getting in the middle of it and taught me how to handle clients. And it was and is a great relationship as I continue these next steps in business.
And how do you structure mentoring in your company? I mean, here's a situation where somebody invested heavily in your life. It made a big impact. So now, whether it's yourself or somebody else, how do you try to structure the mentoring in your organization? Because you have a lot of younger people on your team, don't you?
Correct. Probably 70% of the company these days is under the age of 30.
Okay.
And, you know, we're probably two extremes. I'm not even the longest standing employee. There's been one gentleman who's been here since 1982. so we have a lot of more than here 20 years, you know, and then have been with us the last four or five. Well, first it's participation. We've tried very hard. And I guess for the story goes, we kind of got a right cross, if you want to say that. I was recruiting, or not even purposely recruiting, over the summers. Our kids who were millennials were coming here to work over the summer. And our daughter, who's our oldest, was studying public relations, graphic design, those different things. So she basically looked at me one day and said, Dad, no one would want to work here. You bunch of old fogies who don't do anything different. You know, we still wore suit and tie every day. We still had a very traditional management structure and things to that nature. So today, largely because of them kind of forcing the issue, we've become a very open door policy. We're hoping to have a new office about a year from now that will be completely open concept with no offices, minus meet me rooms and things to that nature. We've added stand up desks and really drive participation amongst all the team members. We do, like tonight, we're doing a project and, you know, we'll take one of our help desk guys and put him with the project team so that it continues to push their growth. And, you know, then the project team ends up with somebody like me involved so that they see how I handle customers, or Sean Barron, who's our chief technology architect, or Brandon Smith, who's our vice president, how they handle customers. So it's about seeing, because I think that's one of the things I've noticed about this new generation is they really don't buy in unless they see you do it yourself. You know, they don't read a book and go, you know, hey, listen, I'm going to do that because the book says it. They only do it because they see the person in front of them doing it and they see it works, and then they kind of do the same.
Yeah, I think my experience with a lot of the people in quote unquote this generation, or Jeff's, my son who works with me, is 31, is that the ones that are achievers are ones that have come to realize how much they're lied to in the media or by politicians or whatever. And so they're really seeking for, as you kind of say, that real thing, the person who's honest. I think it's one of the reasons Ron Paul did as well as he did is they didn't necessarily buy into or even fully research everything he stood for, but they said, hey, this guy's honest.
Right.
I can believe in him. And I think that's really what they're looking for. So, Sherry, you've got, you know, more of the touchy-feelies with you, although Mike's very approachable. He's not totally a geek.
He is, but they're all scared of him, I think.
Well, he is pretty cut and dry, right? So, yeah.
But I'll tell it to you like it is, you know, would be like that, getting back to that honesty thing, you know.
Yeah. So where do you play in as far as developing the culture and developing, you know, the engagement of these people?
I listen a lot. I'm a great listener, and they share a lot. I hear a lot of things. Plus, they feel very comfortable coming to me just with a variety of things, you know, with the suggestion of, you know, we do Blue Jean Friday. They would like to do Blue Jean Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So, you know, they come to me with different ideas. So I listen, and then Mike and I talk about them and come up with different ways to just try to make it everybody feel more like a team. A lot of team building things. We still have a lot of things in the works. I think we could do more, but we do, like we had the Wear Your College Colors Day, you know, for the first day, the Friday before the first college football weekend. We have people here who are not into college football, so we had a sports team day, be the craziest fan you can be, you know, to include if you wear a bunch of face paint, you got to be able to take it off if you're going to see a client. But so just ideas like that I try to come up with. That Mike, it's not that he wouldn't necessarily come up with that, but he doesn't necessarily think about that all the time. He's focused on other things.
Don't mistake, David. We would have never had Blue Jean Friday if she wouldn't have been going. Listen,
we gotta have a day where you wear jeans. So, but we also do things that Mike didn't mention. Every Friday, we bring in breakfast for the team, and we sort of have a 15-minute meeting real early, and it's a we call it the Business 101 meeting. And what it is really is Mike just shares 10 minutes of real simple business type of things with the younger, mainly for the younger ones. We've had a couple of them approach us and say, you know, we really want to learn about business. Maybe someday we want to own a company like this. Can you help us? So we have tried to do that on Fridays. You know, sometimes it's more interesting than others, whatever Mike decides to talk about, but it's always fun. And I think just things like that.
Yeah. So, and you're a gifted orator, so that makes sense. Let me ask you a question. What type of food do you bring in for that breakfast on Monday?
We bring in, it's Chick-fil-A. So a lot of biscuits and stuff. And then every other week, it's a bunch of bagels and cream cheese.
There we go.
Once or twice a year, we have a huge catered breakfast with very Southern biscuits and gravy and bacon and eggs. And yeah. Everybody is pretty much in a food coma the whole day. I'm not sure how much work gets done when we do that, but it's a lot of fun.
I always recommend if you're going to do food for employees or clients, make it good food. And yes. You know, I think, yes. You know, Chick-fil-A is not, you know, top of the line, super expensive, but it's quality. I mean, they do, right. They do a nice job. Same thing if you buy nice bagels versus, you know.
Yeah, we do. In fact, every once in a while, Mike says, quit buying so much of the flavored cream cheese, because I buy every, you know, you got a variety. It's got to be good.
And she has a variety. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Well, and you let it work. So you guys kind of step back in the partnership and kind of let each of you play to your strengths. And it sounds like, is that one of the things you've learned from working together 28 years ago, is kind of the stepping back and let each of you play to those strengths, do what you do best. And sometimes, like you, Mike, you don't want all those flavors, but it's not, when you look at it, that's not a big deal.
Right. I would say yes, definitely for me. Mike has a very strong personality. I think 28 years ago, some of that personality always came out, and I had a hard time with it. It bothered me, made me not necessarily uncomfortable, but I had a hard time with it. And now 28 years later, I recognize the value of that, and that where his heart is, and all. So yeah.
Yeah. For me, I think, and she's a huge compliment to this, I had to become a better listener. You know, 28 years ago, I was the bull in the china shop. You know, we're just going from here to there, and anything that's in the middle, we're going to run it over. You know, and 28 years later, you know, I've learned and continue to learn every day that if you listen to the people on your team, while all their ideas, they may not kind of what the reason we started the IT business 101 thing was, they kept having ideas, which I thought were great, but they weren't ideas that translated to business success. They were ideas that improved their day to day, but they didn't see the secondary picture of, you know, once again, pick on, you know, Gene Friday, you know, and taking it further, you know, we don't have clients who wear jeans every day, so we can't wear jeans every day. You know, that's, you know, in the South, you know, for those watching in the South, jeans on Friday is a, we have clients walk in the front door now in jeans. And, you know, it's just so, so common. Now I've proposed we have dress up Tuesday. So to wear jeans one day, we should have to wear shirt and tie one day.
Okay, maybe only in the wintertime, because when it's 100 down here in the South and everybody's wearing a, because there's a few of us females in the building, but most of them are males and happen to wear that tie, I think would be, you know. So maybe in the wintertime.
I've learned to be a better listener, so I've lost that argument now for like 6 months straight.
Well, it's an interesting thing. It relates to charm school that we have with etiquette training. You know, a lot of the younger people never really been trained on business etiquette, and part of it is dress.
You know, well, and David, you get a kick out of this, I think. So the other day I had to implement, and I hadn't seen this since I was really young. We implemented a curse jar policy for bad language, you know, just because the language was getting out of hand. And so I went back old school and said, you know what, we're going to set up a great big jar and every curse word costs you a dollar. What was funny is I had engineers keep an Excel spreadsheets just to
see who was
going to pay the most money. But it was those things that, and why the talent, they're so talented. I mean, as you know, I'm a huge believer in this next generation. The talent and the expertise they have is unquestionable. It's all the things we just assumed. I've got one on our staff who kind of, you know, he constantly wants to talk to me. And, you know, the other night, and hopefully get you, this will make sense to you, is, you know, for our generation, the secret sauce was all tended to be fiscal in nature. Fiscal money tended to drive us at the end of the day. It was the most in the secret sauce. Today's generation, everybody has their own special secret sauce. So where we could come up with one thing that would help motivate the whole team, now it's like we have 20 individual secret sauces. You know, is it community involvement? Is it money? Is it, you know, recognition? Is it just leave me alone? You know, and that's been one of our toughest things trying to get managed.
Yeah, it is tough, but in the end, they're all seeking, you know, work that's meaningful to them. And the interesting thing about this generation is if you can set aside the ones that are more negative or not engaged, I think this may be the greatest generation since the Great Generation. These people, the young people today, want more meaning and really want to make a difference. And I think what we've seen in a long time, and part of that is, well, anyway, I don't necessarily feel I should go down that path. I mean, I'm interviewing you guys, but part of that may be the environment they grew up with, where many of them grew up with parents that were much more self-centered. Mm-hmm. And so they saw what that created, and those that didn't buy into it are seeking something different. So we'll see. So now I'm kind of curious too, as you've grown, so Sherry's come on board, helping a lot, helping balance things. Mike, how do you keep a focus on allocating your time to what you truly do best? I know you're involved in different pockets of the business versus getting caught up in some things that really aren't your strengths. How do you manage that so you stay focused and can really shine?
Well, Sherry would first tell you I'm a workaholic, so I'm probably the closet definition of, but I tell people all the time, listen, if I won the lottery, I would own an IT company. I love what we do. I have a huge passion for it. I love solving customers' problems. You know, the first answer for me is I've been able to assemble a great team. I mean, the reason we went with the slogan, the IT Brain Power Company, was I was trying to develop a team of the very best who wanted to work together and who were interested in the same things I have. They just had different things. So our vice president, his name's Brandon Smith, he's been with us for, you know, 20 plus years. And, you know, he worries about the day-to-day managed services aspects of our business. And I joke with him all the time. He's our client experience guy. So he's focused on our client experience. Our chief technology architect, same thing, been with me for more than 20 years. You know, he's worried about where we're going from a skill set standpoint. So for me, I just get to do little pieces and pockets. And then I guess about 5 years ago, we brought in a gentleman, his name is Robert Rivers, to run our sales organization. And he's probably the most different of all of us because he's a true go-getter salesperson. I mean, you know, 600 cold calls a week, runs a team that just gets appointments nonstop. And it kind of sits well with me because they're constantly getting appointments that I now have to engage in. Part of our scale issue, which we've discussed, is me trying to figure out how to teach that part of our company, that part of what we do, to others under us so that we can now grow at a faster pace than waiting on me. Right. And then, of course, the young lady sitting beside me has really made it so I didn't have to worry about operations and cash and all the things that are a huge distraction from running a business every day that are just so important. And of course, you know, since we've been together almost 30 years, it's the ultimate in trust. I don't worry about it. And so I've been able to stay focused that way. And, you know, we've met a number of times. You know this about my personality. I'm an extreme organizer. So, you know, everything to me starts with a list and ends with a list. And you just better get the list done.
And he has his nose in everything, not in a bad way, but, you know, very much his fingers on the pulse of everything. And he steps in when he needs to. So.
Yeah. And I think that's the balance that many people lack is if they delegate, they say, you know, I lead with a long leash, which is basically I allow people to hang themselves because I'm not managing. And they don't have the balance of the follow-up, the, you know, am I getting the regular reports? Am I meeting with people regularly type of thing? And then you're able to go out and do the things that you love to do, that's your passion, solving problems, meeting with people. You also teach. Talk to me about the teaching piece, because you do the Office 365 classes, right?
Right. Well, before I came to Becca, you know, ages ago, I love teaching people how to do what we do, and, you know, not necessarily to the level of you can replace us, but we host an every 60-day event for Microsoft that's about Office 365, and it's teach the last what's happened in the last 60 days that's new, and a huge number of our existing clients and now prospects, and we even have vendors come. Mm-hmm. And so I enjoy that interaction with people. And, you know, just, you know, I'm the guy who plays with computers when he goes home. And so the beauty of the new IT evolution is the change is just so much faster. I tell people all the time, you know, everybody's used to dog years, you know, one human year is seven dog years. You know, in IT, I would argue one human year is about 20, you know, computer years, you know. So in 60 days, you can have a complete change. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's the greatest industry to be in for that reason. If you get bored doing what we do, then you just, right.
Yeah, so there's a problem. There's probably, how many people attend that every 60 days?
Probably 25 to 30, depending on how big the room is. The bigger the room, I still try to do everything in our office. It's been one of the old school, you know, keep costs down. We're very conservative fiscally, you know, so we don't go rent big rooms. And so we just put extra tables in the conference room and things to that nature. So we do an Office 365 one every 60 days. And then the months we're not doing that, we add something else. It may be, you know, backup and recovery or, you know, cloud computing, something to that nature. So we do one every 30 days.
But Office 365, that's the most popular and we get the best turnout for that. I guess because it changes so much, there's constantly new things going on. And a lot of people don't go home and read what the newest thing is. So they come and have someone show them. Yeah. So Mike goes home and reads that stuff.
How many people return every 60 days?
Probably 10 to 15. It's a big number.
It's a pretty good number. Yeah. It's surprising. Yeah.
I mean, it continues to expand. We're to a point like in our, when we're looking at new offices, we're actually looking at places that have, because once again, it's amazing how, once again, we aren't much different than many other people. So now the new office spaces have combined conference rooms. Mm-hmm. You know, they're much larger. So where we would have a conference room, our conference room here fits 30 okay, but to put 50 or 100 in it, you could never do.
Right.
You know, and almost all the new office space we're looking at, they have a room for that. That's just part of your lease.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with your young group there, or even with your senior people, I mean, here you've had people, senior people be with you for 20 plus years. What are the biggest challenges that you have?
Today, probably our biggest challenge is pace. I like to run much faster than most. So both extremes. So the people who've been here for 20 plus years struggle with pace. And the young pups struggle with pace. Just they happen to work for a guy who wants to, you know, I'm a 150 mile an hour guy, 12 hours a day. And, you know, whether it's computers or football or whatever it may be, that's just kind of how I run. So pace, because I think that, at least in my humble opinion, the IT industry is only going to, you know, it's now left to the professionals. You know, 10 years ago, everybody wanted to be in IT. Everybody could be in IT. If you could put a CD in a drive, you could make a Windows server. In 2017, to do cloud computing, to do these new cloud platforms and software-defined networking, it's really left to the professionals who are really smart at what they do. They're interested in the change, and they're solving customers' problems at a level that customers never dreamed possible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what advice would you, additional advice, you gave some on partnerships with, you know, the two of you working together, husband-wife partnerships or any type of partnership did you get into?
Well, most important, you know, than anybody would say is communication. You know, I tell Sherry all the time, it's not personal, it's business. There's some things that just have to be done. You know, and whether it's husband and wife or partners or family, you know, one of our fears, you know, when we attended the session we did, you know, on, you know, succession planning, life planning and business planning with you. One of the things that scared me was listening to some of the stories that the guys had about the siblings hating each other and right. things to that nature, because that really bothers me, because I want not only our kids to see this as something that is important, but all the other people here too. So we work real hard to teach everybody, listen, it's business. It's not personal. It's, you know, we're here to take care of clients, have a good time at what we do. So I'd say in the partnership, that's very important as well, in that just over communication.
Yeah, and right. And being willing to listen to the good and the bad and recognizing each other's feelings and strength about things, even if you disagree, but always talking about it and telling our team to feel like they can come and talk to us or each other, being very open. And
yeah, I mean, David, I know we've talked about this a few times, and that, you know, I think as a leader, you have to kind of set the goals very in plain text these days. I mean, you know, 20 years ago, we would have never thought about sharing our financial success as a business. You know, that was always very closed book things. Today, because once again, we've foregone certain profit opportunities to make our company grow, you know, because growth and profit don't necessarily you know, you always got to be making money, but at some point in time, you've got to be willing to invest in people and invest in training and invest in all these different things. And that lends to, you know, not, you know, having the extra dollars to do certain things or give raises and things to that nature. Everybody had to buy off on that. And we work very hard to, you know, each year we have what I call an operation. So our fiscal year started April 1st. Our operation this year is Operation Urgency. So the younger team struggles with urgency. You know, they're going to solve the problem, but they'll spend 30 hours solving a problem that we got to solve in three. And trying to teach that and grow that and communicate and that this is what we're trying to do. And that has helped significantly. We just started what we call the reality check review. So it's a less than 1 hour review. It's not fiscal in nature. And it's, you know, it's simple, honest, and quick. So how do I see you? How do you see yourself in the company? What are we trying to get to? What are you accomplishing well? How can I help? Move on. Because we're very candid about, you know, fiscal growth is about how are you increasing your value inside the company. And keep it honest. And we're working very hard to implement a pay for performance program, you know, that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I think it what you're doing that can be different than other people who have the sense of urgency that you have, that running over people that you mentioned earlier, is that now, whether it's credit to Sherry or maturity or a combination of the two, you're engaging the group in the decisions. You may bring them something, but you're bringing it in a way that's not, you know, this is the way it goes. And you need to adhere to this. This is the direction we're going. Who's got feedback? Who's got ideas? Am I hearing you correct? That's what you're doing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I try to get not 100% buy off, but our senior team pretty much, I always have a buy off on. And then, you know, even like our building move, you know, that we were open. We've already told the employees, listen, we don't know where we're going, but we know a general area. So, you know, we actually had a guy who came to work for us right after I took over. He had worked for one of our clients, then comes to work for us. I announced we're going to move because I thought we were going to move 3 years ago. And he actually sold his house to get ready to move into a new house that was going to be closer to the office. And as I told him, that's the ultimate in respect. I mean, you know, that's a lot of pain and suffering to go through. But we learned that, hey, listen, just communicate those, you know, one of my mentors once told me, you want to move the needle, but you can't move it too far, too fast, because then people freak out. And so we've just tried not to freak anybody out.
Well, it also seems like one of the things you've learned is one of the things I have learned, but I'm still, you know, I struggle with, is that when driven people say things, a lot of times they'll say, we're going to do this. And what you mean is, you know, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? But that's not the wording or the tone you use.
Right.
Somebody goes and sells their house. I think also...
He's still with us. Yeah.
There you go. He's still waiting for that move.
Still waiting to see exactly where we're going to end up.
That's right. So I think you also brought up another thing that we really don't want to overlook, and that is the communication piece, particularly within family members. And I remember my grandmother I've been married 40 years now. We celebrated in July. And she gave, an old piece out of Psalms that was never let the sun go down on your anger type of thing.
Right.
And I remember David Romig, who was, you know, either last week or the week before on our podcast, he was talking about he's worked with his dad for like 30 years. And they just, are going through a transition now. But he talked about how, you know, one of the things you need to assess, he didn't say this, but because they have it, but you have to assess this just like you've done. 28 years ago, it didn't work. Now it does work. David and his dad could be in an argument in the office, but they don't have, they don't bear grudges.
Right.
You know, 2 hours later, it's like, hey, what time are you showing up for dinner tonight? You know, it's real casual. And they'll have employees saying, weren't you guys just at each other's throats like 2 hours ago? Like, yeah, it's no problem. It's just the way we communicate. It's okay. This is family. It's totally separate. We leave it behind.
Yeah. Well, we tried something this year. Once again, now having so much family in the business, is I actually brought everybody to the house and said, okay, you know, you can call it a Sunday sit down dinner. We don't do it that often, but this is what's going on. This is how, you know, let's talk about things that aren't the business. Okay. Then there'll be a section where we talk about the business and try
we're
to
talking about our children and their significant others, their spouses, or, right, you know,
just to remind them, you know, listen, it's business. It's not personal. I mean, we're all after the same goal, take care of our clients and take care of ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so I need to be respectful of your time. We need to wrap up. Any last minute things that have occurred to you that you want to leave as advice or story to close out this opportunity? I really appreciate the insights you've given people.
Well, I mean, David, Sherry hears this out of me all the time. I tell anybody out there who's doing what we do, you got to remember what it is like to have fun doing what we do. You know, everybody's now been through the recession. Everybody's business is starting to boom again. You know, the IT industry is way up and everybody's forgetting that, listen, this is, you know, I actually met with a client the other day and I reminded them that I think the IT guy now fits in the same conversation as the trusted physician, the trusted attorney. You know, just have fun at what you do and make sure your clients are, you know, healthy and growing. And, you know, then it's fun to come to work.
I would say that when you work with your spouse or you work with a sibling, and we work with all of our children too, to try to remember to take time away from the business. Because even when we are socializing and we're not at the office, we talk about the office. So it has to be a very conscious effort to say, you know what, let's try to really hard to disengage and not talk about work. And let's just enjoy each other. And that's hard. You have to really focus on doing it, because so much of our life is Becca and being here, and we have so much in common. We can talk about it all day long about different things that are happening. So I think that's an important thing to remember.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. And the reason I smile quite so broadly is Jeff, who's the producer on this event, my 31-year-old son, who I love working with, very proud of. And, but we have a rule, we don't talk business at home. So when we're talking family, and typically, sometimes he has violated it, but most of the time, you know, I'm the guy who's reining it in.
Sometimes. Oh yeah, yeah.
And he'll just say, hey dad, wait, you know, we're not at work. Let's save that. And we both do pretty good at it, but we both hold each other. And then there's been times actually in the last year, I think the first few years we worked together, he never cross that line. Last year, he's gotten an idea here or there, and he wants to talk about it. I'm like, okay, let's stick with your rule. Let's wait. So I think that's really good advice.
Right.
So that sounds great. Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to catching up with you guys October 15th. I hope that still works. And
that sounds great. Yeah.
As when I'm in Atlanta. And thanks so much for the insights. I'm sure everybody's going to gain something from this. So you guys have a great afternoon.
Thanks. You too.
Talk to you later, David.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks everybody for listening. I'm sure you caught on. I really like Mike and Sherry Estep. As a matter of fact, when I'm going to be in Atlanta in mid-October, I've asked them, hey, can we get together? I don't have any agenda type of thing. They're great people and, you know, very sharp business people. Particularly Mike is that hard-nosed, you know, driver, but Sherry balances them. Hope you enjoyed it. Got some tips. We're actually going to take next week off, and we will return with No Bad Bosses on October 3rd. We're going to do one of those rare things for us so far. I'm inviting back John Pearson and Mike Pate. Now, these guys last time gave you incredible information, tips on how to put together a board of directors. Their focus is nonprofits, but of course, it applies across the board. John is the author of the 20 Management Buckets. Mike, really sharp guy who runs a huge ministry. And so these guys are going to come back and share some more wisdom. I would not miss it. Put it on your calendar for October 3rd and share this. Let other people know, hey, you guys got to connect and subscribe to this podcast. Share it with your friends, share it with your peers, other people, because there's some great wisdom coming out here that can help you. I'm not boasting about myself. We got some really good guests. Hope you'll be with us.